Hello and welcome to the Just Another Castle podcast. I'm your host, Matt, and with me this week is our resident gaming journalist, Eli.
How's it going?
And our pro gamer, Mike.
Wouldn't he be more now the resident Phoenix Wright of the podcast? I mean, hey guys, what's up?
I'll take it.
All right, it has been a hot minute, as Mike would like to put it, since we recorded last. You know, that I think a lot of that's on me, but also, you know, just news and stuff. But Nintendo has come back with a Direct, and it's a perfect time to talk about it, even though we're a little late, but...
What are you talking about? Yesterday, the Direct.
Yeah, exactly.
Tape delay.
Yeah. Unoclay won't be able to make it, but for various reasons, but I'm sure he'll be on next time. But
Matt,
anyway.
It's not your fault that we haven't recorded in a while. We're busy people. We're productive people. We help society through just like being great. And you know, we're not the same bloggers that we once were. You know, we are productive members of society, I would argue.
Yeah, we are the cogs that make that machine turn.
Exactly. Yeah. You should be grateful that we've decided to come back and let you bask in our glory.
First podcaster could be.
Exactly. All right, so yeah. All
right, lead us off, Matt, man. Lead us off. Right.
So both a Nintendo Direct and a Pokemon Direct happened recently, so we'll go over that and a couple other things. I'd like to start off with the Pokemon stuff. It was also shorter, so it's easier to kind of get that out of the way. But yeah, so the Pokemon Direct happened, and they showed off two more most notable things were the Pokemon Diamond and Pearl remakes and Pokemon Legends Arceus, which we'll get to in a minute. But Eli, what do you think of the Diamond and Pearl remakes, and did you have any attachment to the originals?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Diamond and Pearl was like the last generation that I really felt connected with and close with. I mean, after that, like, yeah, I played every Pokemon game after that, and I loved them. But I think Diamond and Pearl are the last two that, like, I have kind of an emotional or nostalgic connection with. So I'm excited to replay them. That being said, I think that a lot of the complaints about the limited overhaul and the limited improvements is definitely worth considering. And in that regard, I wish they had done a little more. Ultimately, I guess we're going to see what the product looks like. If I remember correctly, Diamond and Pearl also had a lot of like social features that were pretty unique for the series. I don't remember that well.
I think it was the first DS game.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was after, the Ruby and Sapphire were Game Boy Advance. So yeah, it was the DS where they had the microphone and the internet connection. I think that's where the Global Trade Center system came in.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see whether there are, in fact, like additional features when everything's said and done. But I kind of understand the disappointment. But, you know, nostalgia-wise, I'm still excited to play it. What do you think, Matt?
So for me, it's kind of the opposite. It was the point in my Pokemon journey that's cringe. For reference, I started with the originals and, you know, went through that way. So Eli, what was the first Pokemon game you played? I don't remember when you jumped in.
Yeah, Fire Red.
Okay. So you pretty much started from the original. It was just the remake version. But so Diamond and Pearl was when I wasn't losing interest in Pokemon as a series, but I didn't really like the designs that much. And the designs are like most of my interest in the game. Because, I mean, like they're decent games for sure. But I think the designs make a lot of it, both for the franchise and just me specifically. So I was kind of like 50-50 on the designs. So I wasn't, you know, as interested. So I could like take or leave this remake, to be honest. And I thought of that before, you know, they announced it or showed it off. So it's not really no skin off my nose in that sense. But I mean, I would have been more interested if it was what I expected, which was in the vein of whatchamacallit, Sword and Shield's engine. Because typically with Pokemon remakes, they remake the game in that generation's engine. So Fire and Red and Leaf Green were in the Game Boy Advance generation, so they looked more like Game Boy Advance games, and then, the same with the other ones. And there's reasons, I think, why they didn't do that. We'll get into later, but yeah, I don't know. It looks so it's made by the Pokemon Home team. And that's, I believe, the only game they've made. They've helped development with some other games as well. It doesn't really say specifically. So I'm kind of not surprised they went for a more, I guess, authentic look, if you want to put it that way. The overworld, like looking, not the overworld, whatever, when you're just in like the field walking around, I think it looks fine. Like, even just the chibi style, I think could work, but it's kind of like when you go into battles, it doesn't look that great. Like, there's not even any shadows or on the models or anything. So, I mean, if they can fix that kind of stuff up, I think it'll help a bit.
Now, wait,
Just to make it more
did this
interesting.
team make the Let's Go? Is the home team the Let's Go team? Or no?
No. So,
Okay.
Pokemon Home is like an online storage service.
I thought, Mike, you liked Pokemon.
I do. I like Pokemon cards. No, I Diamond and Pearl was right when I dropped out. And that was like my end of attachment. Like, this was the last one for you. The previous Gen 3 was the last for me. So it was like, But then I came back for Heart Gold, Soul Silver. But a lot of people always say Diamond and Pearl was, I always heard really divisive things about it though. They're like, oh, this is trash. And then the other half is like, yo, y'all check out Diamond and Pearl. And I'm like, no. So I also had no idea. Is Platinum the third one?
Yes.
Okay. I heard Platinum's not as good though. It's easier or something like that. I don't know. Cynthia's easier than Platinum or something.
Was good. I think that, and it had some extra content. It just wasn't worthwhile. There wasn't like enough extra stuff.
Okay.
I think people were disappointed, especially after Emerald was like really a big improvement over Ruby and Sapphire.
Okay.
Remembering so.
No, I mean, look, personally, like when I looked at it, like I don't know. I mean, I did play Sword and Shield. I didn't get the DLC and stuff, but I don't know. I had the same thought as Matt just said. I thought the battles were kind of crappy. I mean, I was like, you know what? Like, I usually, anytime they announce these games, they're never actually ready for release. I'm just like, I usually chalk it up to like, it's probably like an alpha or beta. Like, you gotta show something, So, like, if obviously, like, if they don't do anything, then they're in trouble. But most of the time, I'm never usually mad at like initial looks of things because you don't know how it's gonna go, That's like being mad about like Earthbound 64, or like the original Dinosaur Planet, which ironically came like a month ago, 3 weeks ago. But yeah, you know what I mean? Like, you never know what's gonna happen in development, so
Don't
you'd
know,
have to switch.
with a lot of games we've seen, like when you're within a couple of months of release, it's not really gonna change. The Sword and Shield was like that with like the textures weren't really updated or anything like that. Some of the third party games in general. It is like 6 months away, so feasibly I think they could update some things. Like I don't think it would, I think they could easily like add in shadows or something with with adding specific lights to do that. Like the look isn't really going to change. I think some smaller things could.
When's the release date on it?
It is, shoot, I have it here. I think it's like October, November, something. Oh, it just says
Always
late
November.
2021.
I mean, I feel like it, I feel like it, I never thought Pokemon was a November thing though. Unless I know Sword and Shield was, but I always felt like they'd be like a September game. But whatever.
But yeah, I get to sum up my thoughts. I think this style could work. I just don't think it's executed as well as it could have been, which is, I think, the main thing that's kind of cheesing people off.
Yeah, I mean, I'm personally surprised that shoot, they just didn't show more, like other than just the basic style, and especially since the game's coming so soon. Also, I'm surprised they didn't show us any more of Pokemon Snap, because I'm definitely excited for that.
They did show a trailer. I don't think they showed really. I don't think it was anything new though. It was just kind of like a repeat.
Yeah.
But
when's that came out again too? Do you
that
remember?
Is end of April.
Man, I used to
I
know all this
waiting
stuff
for it.
like an encyclopedic, you know, book, but
I only remember it because I was like, okay, what games are coming out when? I have this much time. Okay, end of April. Cool. Yeah, now I'm pumped
Oh,
for that game.
that's Snap. Isn't it April 30th or something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
That sounds right, yeah.
I'm not excited at all. So you guys are talking about Pokemon Snap? I don't even talk about Pokemon. Think of something funny with Snap and Trash. So Snap, Pokemon Snatch? No, it doesn't work. All right, whatever. I'm rusty.
Yeah, you'll work into it.
We're all out of practice on the podcasting.
Yeah. I know. You know, we're warming up. We just finished hibernating. You know.
Yeah.
The other kind of, I guess, to end this off, the other annoying thing with this is that it doesn't look that much better than the 3DS Pokemon remakes, and those were only $40, and this is $60. So it's like, you know, I know. Anyone who kind of wants to criticize Pokemon will get a bunch of people coming back saying like, oh, you're demanding too much or whatever. But it's like, hey, there's a 50%, whatever. There's a $20 price increase. That should come with something. So there's a reason for that.
It's like that meme where it's like, you know, buying a game at $40 versus buying a game for $60 10 years later.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's Drake, and he's not looking bad at it. This guy, and then he points to yeah. I mean, I'm sorry, spoilers. I mean, Pokemon, blah blah blah, Gen 4.
Yeah, but moving on to the other big Pokemon news, I'm surprised they didn't show what was it, Pokemon Unite or whatever, the MOBA game. I thought they would have given
that's my,
given
that's
update
my
on that.
Game.
Oh, is
I
it?
Not that exact.
Oh, the beta. Actually, I believe the public beta for that. Very soon.
Yeah, I think I remember reading it's the beta is coming out in Canada and some other countries on mobile. I was like, oh,
yeah,
mobile, forget that. I'll wait until it's on console.
No, yeah, but Matt, if it's coming to Canada, you get me in that. I'll be Matt.
Oh my gosh, right? Just make an account and list it as Canada. It's that easy. No,
I can't do that. What am I supposed to make my account?
Mister, I play all these mods on stream, can't figure out how to make a fake account.
Yeah, it's like region. First off, man, I'm American. You think I'd ever disrespect not putting America right on
that? It reminded me of there's the Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged, and there's this character that wears like American bandana, and all he says, he ends every
Baby
conversation with "In America."
Oh, dude, great. Good reference. Good reference.
Great. But yeah, the other big Pokemon news is Pokemon Legends Arceus, which is interesting. It is a spin-off game that takes place in ancient Sinnoh, and for Mike, Sinnoh is the location of Diamond and Pearl, so it's kind of like a, well, I guess not a complimentary game, but it's interesting that they're taking this time to also expand on the same region. But this is going to tell like an ancient tale of Arceus, which is the god Pokemon. So
I wish it was Arceus. You know, it was Arceus.
Yeah. Some say Arceus, it's the pronunciations of Pokemon isn't even consistent like within Pokemon itself. Like in this show, they'll pronounce things two different ways. It's like, okay, no one cares. In the games, there's like a system for not Silvally, type null, and it's literally spelled like RKS. So it's like, oh, is that how it's supposed to be pronounced? I guess. Anyway, dumb pronunciations aside, yeah, this is a game taking place in ancient Sinnoh before I don't know, some a long time ago, before, you know, modern Pokeballs and all these other things were invented, and they list it as an action RPG where you know, you can roam around kind of like the wild areas and catch Pokemon freely without entering battle, but also enter regular battles and some other stuff. Eli, what did you make of basically looks like Pokemon knockoff Breath of the Wild, but
I mean, it's good to note that it's not just an Pokemon, right? It's going to have cross region Pokemon options, and I think that maybe just calling it Breath of the Wild Pokemon is kind of funny because that was what Sword and Shield were supposed to be, right? So this is either more of that, right? Or theoretically looks different. But I don't know. I am enthusiastic to play it, especially thematically, stylistically. It's kind of like embracing this old Japan style. Like that seems super fun and interesting. I'm so wary on the battle system because I'm not so sure how it's actually, it's going to be one of the first big innovations, right, in battle style for the Pokemon series versus, the standard turn-based like battle, go into battle, do-do-do-do-do that we are used to. But just because it's new doesn't mean it's better, and I think I've grown so used to the traditional battle style that I am wary to embrace something new unless it like really works well. And if it's just shallower, if it's cool that it's like all out in the open, but it ends up being shallower in actual battle format, then it'll be really unfortunate. So I think stylistically, I'm very optimistic and looks great, but hopefully they can keep the depth of gameplay up to matter to the levels of, the regular games. Although, to be fair, in recent years, the mainline games have gotten way easier too.
I think they're like taking baby steps because it looks like you can do kind of both. Like you can catch Pokemon, just throw a ball without even being in battle, but there's also like the traditional battles of here's a clear menu system of choosing your moves. So I think and I don't know how you would choose which one you want to do, if it's a mode or if it's just a different way you interact. But I think an interesting system would be you can walk up to Pokemon and then like enter a battle normally, or you check off some other option or whatever. And what you can do is it's all in the open world. But let's say you hold a trigger and that brings up a menu of four different moves, and then you can just click one of those moves, and then like just move around freely, and keep it kind of like open. So that way you could have like both if you really want to do it turn-based or if you want to do it real time. Because you only ever have four moves on a Pokemon anyway. So it wouldn't be that bad of a change. And then, if you want to change Pokeballs, then you just, hit another button and then scroll through your list or whatever. Kind of like in Breath of the Wild when you like select a different rune, everything pauses for a second. You can see that for changing Pokemon. So I that'd be cool if they added. I don't know if they will. There's no signs of it. But yeah, I'm with you. I think the theming of it is cool. I like the idea of them taking a different approach where it's like, ooh, we have all these Pokemon and we could make interesting stories behind them, or they kind of have them, but they don't really delve into them that much. And then this gives them a bigger reason to focus on like making these Pokemon feel more like legends that they're supposed to be, rather than just like, oh, here's the one thing in the cave this one time, and then you catch it and you're gone, sort of deal. It's like, oh, we can like build up to something. So I'm looking forward to that, because I think
And
it'll
I
be
just hope,
interesting.
sorry, I just hope they don't have a cap or a low level of Pokemon because what I really appreciate about Sword and Shield, even though I already have like all the Pokemon, right, except for the new generation, it just seems so much more open and like I was so much more wide-eyed when it's like, oh yeah, I already have all these Pokemon theoretically, like in Pokemon Bank or wherever. But it's so nice that wherever you go, there's like new Pokemon popping up, like at least for the initial few dozen hours. And it would just be really nice. I would hope if it was the same sort of system. If they're only like, oh, here's 150 Pokemon and that's what we're gonna stick with, then it doesn't feel as open worldy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we'll have to see, because it's weird. It takes place in the past, so you would think they wouldn't have many other Pokemon. At the same time, the starters are not all Sinnoh. They're one's Cyndaquil, which is Gen 2 Johto, the Rowlet, which was Gen 7 in Sun and Moon, and then Oshawott, which was Sinnoh, Gen 4. So, and the reasoning for that is like, oh, this professor, went around the world and he brought these back from his the different regions. So it's possible some of those make it over here somehow. Like, oh, look, these other people migrated Pokemon from different regions as well. I'm not sure how much they'll do that. Maybe it'll be like if you beat a certain part of the story, you can unlock a different area, and that's kind of the case. I'm sure they'll have a mix of something. I don't think it'll be all of one. Maybe just not as big of a mix as other games, but Yeah, it's a. I think it looks cool. Hopefully, I kind of hope they give it more time because they said early
Yes.
2022, and it looks rough. And so this is the Pokemon team that worked on Sword and Shield, and Sword and Shield wasn't out that long ago. Even if you consider the DLC, it's like, oh, like 2 years or whatever ish. It's like, eh, is that enough time? And the coronavirus was going on. So it's like, eh, I'm sure that would have, I know, a lot of studios have caught up since then, but I'm sure it affected them to some amount. So
So that's
it's like,
definitely all true. And I wonder if they already, like, back when they were released Sword and Shield, whether at the time they're thinking, oh, like, let's do the third Sword Shield, I don't know,
the DLC.
whip or whatever whatever the third weapon is that they have, Sword
Oh,
and
yeah.
Shield, bow, Pokemon bow and arrow. Instead of that, maybe they were like, well, let's just not do that this time around and let's already focus on the going on our next thing, because the DLCs, to be honest, were small, right? Like in the grand scheme of things. They were definitely together not worth an entire game. And so if you think about the studio, it's been what, 2 years since Sword and Shield. So next year will be the third year. That's a decent amount of time to build the game up, especially if you already have the engine running. So it doesn't seem like that small of an amount of time.
Give me a second. Oh, that's what it was. It's the end of 2019, November. So that's all of 2020, and then all of 2021. So that's like 2 years, if you don't count, factor in DLC. And then, like, yeah, so early 2022 is 2 years. Yeah, I don't, I guess the DLC would have been a smaller team anyway, but yeah, hopefully gets a bit fixed. Some of the Pokemon are running at like 2 frames. That Chimecho is floating. It's like, oh man, come on, you got to show a bit better than this. But hopefully that's fixed. But I think at least based off of what they're presenting, the ideas and the concept are interesting. Hopefully we'll see more of that. I don't know if they'll, sh well, probably not at E3 because they don't. They kind of do their own thing, but maybe by the end of the year or something.
Yeah, and to be fair, I guess Nintendo has been completely no shame about delaying, many of its properties. So I wouldn't be surprised if you were right at the end of the day. Like, when's Metroid coming? Doesn't exist anymore.
I can't believe how many
Don't
people
you
are
mean
like.
Nintendo's got a thing for deleting games? All right, so say goodbye to your remake. All right,
What if
after 4 months.
the technical issues that led to its getting delayed was like some employee accidentally deleted the file, like in his sleep. Like, sorry.
Yeah,
Oh
I'm sorry,
my
dude.
gosh.
You guys wanted this Diamond Pearl game? Like, you know what? It's only available for 3 weeks. That's it. And then even the people with 3 weeks, gone. All right, no trade, nothing.
Well, did you hear how like at CD Projekt Red, their entire development team got like locked out of the build and their patches were delayed because the hackers there pretty much stole all the data and locked them out, and during COVID they couldn't get back to the office.
Oh my
You know,
gosh.
that's hilarious actually, but no, I never did hear that. I didn't hear that, but that's actually really funny and also serious, but very funny.
Imagine if they just like quote unquote hack themselves. They're like, oh yeah, guys, we would have definitely had this patch fixed. We're just
Oh, dude.
some guy hacked us, we don't know what's happening.
Yeah, Frank, you still hacking this, right? Yeah, there's some guy hacked this, man. This we're gonna have to take the week off.
Yeah. It was funny. Apparently it was done through like a notepad text. And apparently I talked to someone and that's normal, but it just sounds so funny to me because it just sounds like the most basic thing. Like writing
Yeah.
something in WordPad or Notepad. It's like, really? That's your threat? No magazine with different letter clippings, just like a random text chat. But
Funny.
yeah, but that's the Pokemon stuff. Moving on to some other stuff. There were some other interesting things that happened unrelated to the direct that I want to shine a light on. So, There was a game called Dinosaur Planet for the N64, and eventually it moved over to the GameCube as Star Fox Adventures because Miyamoto saw it start a Fox and he said, "Hey, why don't we make that Star Fox?" And they said, "Okay," and they did it. And a lot of people didn't like it because it wasn't really Star Fox. But anyway, that.
People like it bad, Matt. Okay, let me correct you there
But
first.
anyway,
I said it was bad.
if you kind of liked it, the N64 build has been leaked on the internet. It's the final build of the game. I don't know if you can fully complete it or what's the deal with the last boss or anything like that, but it's the
Well,
final
it's not
build of the
like.
game with Fox in it, and yeah, you can play it. And it's even been someone tried putting it on an EverCart or whatever it is, and you can actually play it through your N64 if you want to. So.
That's funny.
Yeah, no. The only thing is, some of the cutscenes are not. What's the word I'm looking for? They're not finished. So it's like, you'll see random T poses and, stuff like that. But other than that, I mean, kind of a cool concept, you know what I mean? To have it done.
Yeah, it's not often that, a whole game, a whole build of a game that was nearly done gets leaked on the internet. Funny, moving along into another thing, another Rare game was leaked. Funny enough, it was GoldenEye 007 HD. It was they were working on it for the Xbox Live Arcade way back when, and then they scrapped that, and they ended up making like the weird remake that was on all consoles that also people didn't really like so much. But if you wanted just to play the original GoldenEye 007, you can play it in HD now on your PCs. It's pretty cool. They haven't had it in keyboard support or anything, but I'm sure it's just a matter of time before someone does that.
Oh, you know what's funny? All this, not completely legal talk reminded me of for a Secret Santa I did. One of my friends got me some bootleg games from China on the Game Boy Color, and some of them were I'll read off the names. I had Pokemon Christmas. Then there was like one that was apparently like a legit, or by legitimately an actually good bootleg game, which is like Pokemon, like Diamond or something, or
Yeah, I remember that.
whatever.
The one with the
And
cell phones and you're like calling the monsters.
then one of the great ones I got was Pokemon Cock Version,
Oh,
where apparently like every Pokemon is like a cock or something. It's like a gag almost. And the reason I remember this is because, like, I'm a lawyer now, and I kind of want to work in this field. Like, I should not, I
I
don't
should
consent.
own nor know about this.
Yes, I'm a law student. Just wanted to clarify for listeners that I don't break the law, everyone. Copyright is a serious issue. Don't tell on me.
Yes,
please, and thank you.
But it's fine. I don't. I'm actually a pretty good person. I give Nintendo so much of my money. Not that
It's okay.
they're not good
They're not
person.
listening, and they don't have a gun pointed at you. You're okay.
No, I was just gonna say that. If Nintendo ever tried to come after me, it's like, you are losing out on so much revenue. The amount of money that I give you every year.
Yep. All right. So, that stuff out of the way, let's get on to some direct news. I didn't list down everything. I just kind of pulled apart some things I think we might be interested in talking about and go from there. I think this might
All right,
interest it.
there's none, so I'm out, boys. I'll see you guys later. Good podcast. Not bad,
How
but
dare you?
all right.
Actually, I
Go,
think
go.
this one might interest you. It's called World End or World's End Club. It's by the creator of Danganronpa and the Zero Escape series. I know you've played the
Ooh.
former. I don't know if you
Yeah,
played the latter.
that game was
Yeah, look
it
pretty
was a
good.
real curveball if anyone is actually interested in it. So it is made by the Danganronpa person. So anybody who doesn't know about that, it's a visual horror like novel. It was the Vita's counter version to Phoenix Wright at the time because everyone's like, this is like Phoenix Wright, but it also has like a lot of life simulator stuff in it as well. Like, you know, in between classes, you go, you know, you hang out with classmates. It helps you find out more about them. I think Eli played it as well. I think he played the first two. I don't know if he ever played the third one.
Yeah, I haven't gotten the third. I bought the third one. I haven't played it yet. But the first
It's great. You like the first two. The third one's great too. So I remember looking at screenshots and hearing about this. But at the Nintendo Direct, that trailer was not at all what I expected. In a good way, you know. Like, I'm still interested. Like, he's such a good writer that it's like, I want to know what's gonna happen. You know.
Yeah,
I have to look up what this game looks like so I remember.
Yeah, it's weird. They got one of the artists from Pokemon, and you can tell by the character designs. It's like, oh yeah, that's it's definitely Pokemon. But
oh yeah, I remember this. It looked great.
Yeah, you have like two different teams of kids. I forget, you choose which side you want to be on or whatever, and travel across Japan. And there's like some side-scrolling action stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It seems cool, but you know, everyone thought it was gonna be another murder mystery, especially the way like it started off, and then it was like, nope, you know. So,
is it still a mystery game?
I have no idea. That's why I want the game.
Suspenseful narrative.
Nice. Yeah, but there's another
last murder
game coming out for me. This is a off tangent. There's two of them. There's this game called Project Eden. Okay, and that's made by people who it's a fan-made game with art styles that are almost exactly alike.
Oh, yeah. You know?
Like, it looks, if you look at it, it looks exactly like it. But there's that, and there's some weird game called Tetsuneki something. I actually have it. It's still on the side here for some reason. Legend of Mana, R-Type 2. Actually, no, I guess I got rid of it. Feels bad. Oh, well, there's another mystery novel game coming out. I think it's made by Niz as well. Like, no, this one's not made by Niz. I'm pretty sure it's by Niz, but it's also a murder mystery class kind of thing. So, yeah, well, everyone's going Danganronpa lately. So, oh, that's it. Tantai Boku Metsu. That's the other Danganronpa that's coming.
Nice. Yeah, and the Danganronpa has, well, I don't think that creator has made a game on a Nintendo console in a while either, right? Because when was Danganronpa wasn't in what's the other game that's getting an anime?
999 or the Nonary game. He also is helping out on that game that you're mentioning out as well. 999, that's the guy.
Yeah, yeah, no, I'm
Zero Escape is the real name.
Yeah, okay. Shoot, now I can't remember. What's that other game? It's a Square Enix game that was on the DS, and you like interacted on the bottom and did on the top.
Oh, the World Ends With You.
That's what it is. That's probably not the same guy, is it?
I think that's not even close. Helped on character designs for The World Ends With You. That's the guy who does Seven and Kingdom Hearts, everybody.
Okay, so that's fine. Nice, well. Yeah, I figured you'd enjoy that.
Yeah, yeah, that's good stuff, bro.
Yeah, nice. Wow. And then another thing, piece of intro news. They announced some Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity DLC.
Did you play that game?
I did. I did play it over the hour break. Sorry, you were going to say something.
No.
I was just
going
to say, didn't it run poorly?
Actually, it wasn't that bad. I think the issue most people had was the opening area. And then, other than that, it was pretty good. It was like, it was if you played in co-op, then there'd be like a noticeable difference. But for the most part, it was fine. I mean, it's not 60 frames or anything, but it seemed pretty good. But they announced some DLC, which apparently they do with all the Warriors games, so it's just a matter of time, I guess, for them announcing it. It's not coming out for a while, though. It says Wave 1 is in June, and then Wave 2, with assumably story vignettes, it's listed as in November, so they're spaced out quite a bit. But I played it over the hour break or whatever, and I enjoyed it a lot, so I'll probably pick it up. I am curious how they're going to add more characters, because the only ones I could think of they didn't add were Robbie and Pura or Pura or whatever, which are like the scientists. And then it's like everyone else, they pretty much added. So I don't, the only other person I can think of is Kaz, the musician bird. I don't know why it's just like, oh, there's another notable character that isn't in the game. So I don't really know how else they're going to add any more characters, but it was a pretty decent game. I'll probably check it out.
Did anyone play, oh gosh, what was it called? Not Gods and Monsters.
Immortals Phoenix Rising.
Immortals.
Yeah.
Game? Oh, yeah, that's it, yeah.
No, I didn't check it out.
No, I did not.
I'd be interested because I heard it's a lot like Breath of the Wild, and I heard on Switch it's like decent. I ended up buying it for PlayStation, but it'd be interesting to hear what people think if someone gets the opportunity to play it on Switch.
I mean, it's funny. Multiple times I've heard this game mentioned, and I'm always like, maybe I'll check it out, but I don't know. Even though I played Genshin, I'm still not the biggest Breath of the Wild fan, so it's like, whatever, you know? So I'm probably not gonna unless somebody accidentally gives it to me. But if you ever do, let me know. Look, I thought you were mixing up with the PS5 game. That's God versus Monsters, right? That's that one? Like that warrior, like that knight-looking guy, and he was just like
fire. Oh, yeah. That's different, yeah.
That's what I, at first I always thought they were the same game. So I was like, But no, like Matt, you forgot to mention the one other weird indie game I might have been interested in. It has Steve Blum when he's like, it's like Ghost Runner, but you're a demon in heaven, and I don't know.
Neon something or other.
Yeah. That was really came out of nowhere, but I was like, you know what? I'm kind of interested in this because I was playing a little bit of the Ghost Runner demo, and I was like, yeah, this really isn't that bad. You know, like, this is a cool game. Like, I get why people like Mirror's Edge and stuff like that, but
it's better than Mirror's Edge. I'll tell you that.
That's the only game I can think of. Like, that's the only runner game that's successful and people ever like can reference back. Yeah. So it's cool that's for the Switch. Like that was something that looked cool. But I really, you know, honestly, I don't remember much from the direct other than being disappointed from the major one that we'll get to later on. But yeah.
Yeah. I think my issue with it was it was mostly JRPGs and MOBAs, and if you're not too interested in those, then there wasn't much other variety.
That is true. There was a lot of RPGs on there. Oh, they had a good one though. I said the game earlier, but they had the that Legend of Mana remake or something like that. Another Legend of Mana remake or whatever. But
Saga Frontier or whatever.
I didn't understand the difference between the Mana remake I have right now. Okay, I might just be too young a gamer, but I don't get the difference between them because they already released remakes, right? From Legend of Mana on the Switch.
You know, I don't know. I was confused myself when I looked at it. I was pretty confused myself. I was like, dude, I was like, is this a different game from the other Legend of Mana? It's like, is this one the third one, the second one? Like, how many times are they gonna remake this game? You know, is this the PS Vita one? You know, no one knows, dude.
Are the ones we have just a direct port that looks terrible, but like this new one is gonna like look presentable? I don't know.
They're never clear on this, man. They just want you to buy the same game 5 times, which we do. So, damn us. We didn't learn. They're like, look, dude, watch. I'm gonna just re-put this down. He's gonna buy it. And I'm like, no. And I do anyway.
I should have mentioned this one before because it's a murder detective series or game or whatever. But Nintendo announced they're remaking Famicom Detective Club, which was an NES game only in Japan, and it's a murder mystery type game. And there's actually two games in the series.
I'm kind of interested in. I never heard of it. Obviously, it's only in Japan, and don't really know about an NES game only in Japan. But I was actually kind of interested. I hope it's not expensive, though. I mean, but as long as it's like under 30, you know what I mean? Like, it should be like a 3DS priced game. Otherwise, I'm not really feeling it. You know, to quote my boy Shulk. Even though I hate Shulk, but still.
Yeah.
Not feeling it.
You know, Mike, I've missed your unending pessimism.
I'm just saying, why would I want to spend so much money when I could just waste all my time and money on a overrated RPG like Xenoblade Chronicles Remake? You know what I'm saying?
You'd spend all your money buying GME.
Eli, you're gonna really miss when we talk about one of my favorite games ever when Matt gets to it with the $70 Joy-Con. You know what I'm saying? You're gonna be like, wow, now I remember. This guy hates everything. Don't worry, boys. I have been playing Mario 64, so I would know about good games. All right, so I would know about good games.
I think it's pretty cool
But
that
Matt, you didn't talk about how Apex Legends on the Switch came out also, okay? So people can play their VR on the go.
it's
Okay? You gotta
still
get the real important games out here. First that, then Warzone, then Crash 4,
Oh
which
my
I
gosh.
actually heard doesn't run like dog crap, which is actually
Yeah, it
impressive.
doesn't, which is good. But yeah, on the Famicom Detective Club, I think it's neat that they're kind of giving this game a second life, so to speak, especially because, no one really was able to play it, and now it's like all remade to look like a modern game.
I mean, they did that with the Phoenix Wright. I'm surprised they haven't done that with the 3DS Phoenix Wright games. Like, there's not that many. What is Brave? Is Bravely Default the only 3DS game that ever actually? Is that the only Bravely three? Is that the only DS game that came out for the Switch, or no?
No, there had to have been other ones. Like Professor Layton was a the new one, the Lady Layton came was on
But that
3DS.
also came out on phone. It doesn't feel like it came out like for Switch. I felt like it was more. It's like I don't know. It feels to me like the Final Fantasy 15 mobile version. Feels like that.
Eli, are you interested in Famicom Detective Club?
I don't know. I'm not a super. I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of mystery games. However, I say that, but I love Danganronpa. So who knows? Maybe I'll end up trying it out. We'll see. I think it's cool that they're definitely bringing these games forward. I mean, next I'd wonder where Mother 3 is, but they're never going to answer that question. So, although
GameStop, dude, he knows.
they did just port Fire Emblem, right? Like a year ago, right? The Famicom version. So it's nice that they're looking at the back catalog. It would just be nice if they actually had some sort of I don't know, maybe some sort of service. Like, I know this is like w very unique, but where you put old games on like a digital platform, and then you can like download them. I don't know. Maybe you'd call it like the virtual. Man, I forgot what the name was, but you could. You know what I'm talking about. It'd be new and innovative. Nobody's ever done that before. Maybe you wouldn't make any money from it, but maybe Nintendo should give it a try.
Maybe,
Maybe. We'll see. I don't know. They've never done this before. Wink, wink. But oh, to answer your question, Mike, about the price, they're both sold at $35 each. But there's a discount if you buy them. If you buy both of them.
Oh, okay.
So they're probably like $30 each after.
Oh, okay, great. Great. That's the so it's $70, not playing playing. Okay.
Pretty much, yeah.
$35 each. Spend $100 for it, then you get an
Oh
S game remade board for $35 a piece. Got great, great. All right, what's next? Can I get a Super Nintendo remake game for 100? All right,
No,
perfect.
but do you want a 3DS RPG remake?
Oh
Not
boy.
one
Like
that
I
you're
said,
asking for,
I'm
but
asking for 3DS games to get ported to my damn Switch.
for
I don't
more
know
than they were
why,
charged.
but I
So
want.
yeah, they're making a remake of sorts of Miitopia, the 3DS RPG.
Oh yeah, they're doing that.
So, if I remember correctly, that game was like derided on the 3DS. Like, it's one thing when Nintendo takes games and remakes them when they're like good and then charges $60 for them again after charging $40 for them the first time. But Miitopia is a bad game. So
Yeah, I
taking
think
a
yeah, that was like the I'm like, why would I pay for this when I have all my free Street Pass games? You know what I
And
mean?
also, who's asking for this?
I don't know.
Is there some sort of like underground Miitopia like community that
Cult.
I haven't heard of?
Dude, I don't know, but the other thing I'm trying to figure out is Miis were part of the Wii. You know, they just happen to carry over. But weeds have not been prevalent in years. I think they had a little resurgence in 2013 when you could pick them in Smash. But weeds are not, like, nobody knows what a Mii is anymore, you know? Like, it's just like the thing you make when you make your Nintendo profile. And some people don't even use their Miis as their profile. You know, like, they're so irrelevant now. And they're like, you know what? We're bringing Miitopia back. And we're bringing back that bad cell phone game. Mii Questionia. That's it, right?
Oh, yeah, I forget. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, it's $50, so, you know, $10 discount, which doesn't mean much. It's, if you look at it, there is more, it's not just a straight port. So it's like, okay, good, you're doing the bare minimum of at least making, you know, adjustment or making it look better. But yeah, it just seems weird that they chose this out of their 3DS library to remake. And especially because I figured they would have, if they were going to remake a Mii game from the 3DS, they would have done Tomodachi Life.
Which was way better.
Yeah, because that seemed like it would get much more of a hit. Especially like with Animal Crossing being a hit. It's like, oh, look, here's another way to interact with all your friends in goofy ways. But wasn't Tomodachi
carried by Street Pass, though? I was like...
I don't think so. I played Tomodachi.
Oh, no, because you could...
That was carried by Street Pass. Never mind. Yeah, because you could, like, get...
You could add your friends on there.
Yeah, yeah.
Or whatever Miis you made. But... Yeah. I'm surprised they went with this of all games.
Interesting. They decided to, like Eli says, they have some sort of underground cult. They throw a dart and they only get the games we don't want. That's what that direct was. They're like, hold on. Let's give everyone indies and RPGs that nobody wants. It's like, oh, yeah, it's my bad, guys. But here's Miitopia to make up for it.
It's also weird because... The Switch has a lot of RPGs already. So it's like, like, you can download a quest for a demo for Dragon Quest 11, like, and it's 10 hours long, which is probably longer than this game. And it's like,
you can download like every Final Fantasy almost on your Switch. Yeah. Like 7 through 12 minimum you can download. It's, you know, and it's like, why would I get that when I can play those? And
yeah,
like people,
I honestly would have preferred if they just remade all the Street Pass Mii Plaza games in a collection. In HD.
Oh, I love those.
Because those were great. I mean, you'd have to, you know, tweak it because you can't use Street Pass. But I thought those were more interesting or fun. Like, not for $50, but, you know, maybe 20 bucks or something.
Don't give Nintendo any ideas. $50 each to them, all right? You know they're broke, okay? You know
they're broke. It's just like, also the 3DS didn't sell poorly. It's not like the Wii U where you've got a re-release so that like someone plays it, right? Like,
That's
not how it works. Like, the game failed the first time around. Like, you don't need to send it out again. Like, the problem wasn't the console that time around.
Yeah.
That makes sense though, man. I mean, Eli, it's like, dude, like, yeah, I get it. Nobody played the Wii U, so here's a Wii U game. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, you know. Makes sense. Nobody play. Like, I didn't get to play that Tokyo Mirage, and like, I'm glad I did. I think that game's dope. But it's like, dude, everyone had a 3DS. Like, you were more likely to be like, what? You don't have a 3DS? You know what I mean? Like, that seemed more like the wrong thing to do. So it's I'm with you on that with that completely. I don't understand their plan either. But man, what are you gonna do? I mean, I've learned to say no to Nintendo. I'm a big boy now. I go, you know what, Nintendo? That's dumb. I'll wait till you take $5 off it. Then I'm in. No, I would never buy Miitopia though. I would never buy a game like that.
All right, well, moving on to another game. They did announce some new games like Mario Golf Super Rush.
That game looks dope. That's one of the better games on here.
Yeah, it's been a while since the last one, which was Mario Tennis Aces. So you seem interested. What do you think about it, Mike?
I'm not the okay. I like Mario Soccer. It's my favorite one. I mean, I'd rather Mario Party for anything, you know. But at the same time, it's like, dude, the changes they kind of put on this Mario Tennis was a bit weak. You know, I thought maybe it'd be better. I think Mario Golf might go the kind of the same way, but I think it's like chill enough for the Switch. You know, where it's like you can just turn it on, you get like a few swings in, or like And then they have like the local party mode with that new wild golf variety. They've added the story mode, like the mobile golf games and stuff. I think they're working something good with that compared to the tennis one. You know? I don't know, something about the tennis was bland. Something was missing with it.
Yeah, that's why I'm kind of hesitant towards this one because I wasn't really crazy about Aces. Although I didn't really get into the golf series all that much, so I probably wasn't going to buy it anyway. But I think the speed golf mode looks fun. That's
Yeah, they
when
got
everyone golfs at like the same time and rushes for the goal. Like, okay, that's a fun way to a fun
We need
twist
speed.
on golf.
We
Like
need
it's supposed
Smash.
to be this relaxing game. It's like, ah, no bum rush to the end. It's like, ah.
Yeah, that's the one thing I like. That, you know,
So
like
it's
Mario
fun.
Golf, like, you know, it's like that's I think that's what makes their soccer game the funnest one, because it's like, you know, it's so jam-packed, rush, like rushful, like every character has their own like abilities in it and stuff. Also, the characters look hilarious with their own costumes. But it's like, you know, I mean, you can only do so much, so maybe that mode gets stale fast, you know? That's the one thing we don't know. So it's like I'm kind of with you on the hesitant, but the way they presented it made it seem way better than, you know, than usual Mario Golf, in my opinion.
I've never really gotten into the Mario sports games. They always seem, I think it's partly I just have misjudgments about them, where like because they're sports games and I don't pay for normal sports games, I feel bad about spending full price, you know, $60 on them. So I've yet to try out them out, especially like the new, I guess the tennis one that came out. I don't know. We'll see. Also, golf is like the worst sport. And I don't care if that offends any of our listeners because it's true.
No, I mean, it's not wrong. I mean, not wrong. So
That's why I like tennis because it's there's more action involved. But yeah,
yeah,
if
but it's
you
like I don't know. You know, like, Mario Tennis is usually good, and then this one was like, eh, take or leave it. So,
I would suggest if Eli, if you want to play any Mario sports game, start with any of the GameCube ones. Because
oh,
that's
dude.
what that was like the height of them. And then it just kind of went down from there.
Yeah, I'll try out Strikers. Actually, I think I did play Strikers when I was little, but I haven't played in a while.
So that's that.
Well, what else we got, Matt?
All right. So Mike is his favorite segment is now coming on.
Oh
So it's
boy.
been a while since we've heard of Zelda: The Breath of the Wild 2, since it was announced. And Eiji Inuma came out to say, "We've still got nothing to show you, but here's Skyward Sword Remake, which everyone was, you know, expecting was coming anyway." So yeah, they announced the Skyward Sword HD, sorry, not remake, remaster. And you can also get limited edition Zelda Joy-Cons as well separately.
You mean
It
sold
is,
out immediately, Joy-Cons?
yeah.
Come
So the game is in HD now, 60 frames per second, has amiibo support, and you can play in button mode, that is without motion controls, especially because, you know, they have the Switch Lite, so you wouldn't be able to use Joy-Cons unless you bought a separate pair. So instead of using, you know, your swing of your arm to do the motion, you can use the right analog stick, because it was only in eight directions anyway, so that's all you really needed. But yeah, Mike, I know you have opinions.
I have great opinions on it. It's a terrible
The
idea.
best opinions.
Yeah. It's like, dude, you know what, Eli? You go. You go.
Okay, yeah, I feel like I gotta get this in before Mike brings us all down, but I genuinely think Skyward Sword is a terrific game. I had a lot of fun with it back when I guess it was like 10 years ago, right? So it's been a while.
Yeah, roughly about 10, 11 years ago. Yeah.
So it's been a while. But I genuinely love the dungeons and the bosses. I agree that like some of the open world elements are a little lame at times, and the motion control was not the best. And the fetch quest at the end sucked. Like, I don't know why, but that's like a Zelda trait. I mean, that's in like freaking every Zelda game. But like other than that, like I genuinely thought it was a way overhated Zelda game. Mike?
For
like, listeners, see, if you don't want to hear a rant, skip ahead 10
Eli.
Minutes.
Eli, you were young and naive, you know. You were like, you know, you're like, I like Zelda, you know. You're like, I like Linku and Ganon. Wait a minute, there's no Ganon. But okay, so the problem with the game is not just the game; it's the problem that they decided to switch the formula and turn. What's the word I'm looking for? Agreeing with the internet. So it was always like those meme things where it was like, oh, Navi's really annoying. Or why can Link hold 100 million items? It makes no sense. And then they're like, you know what? You're right. That doesn't make sense. Let's do a limited inventory. I was like, all right, you know what? Fine. That's my one gripe. Then they make a stamina bar, okay, which climbing got better. Everything else got worse. His natural walk and jog, too slow. His stamina ran out in literally 3 seconds. You fought, you shielded using stamina. Your battle combat system was worse than 1998 battle combat system. In addition, all the enemies are literally like monkey see, monkey do. So I'm holding my crowbar up. Better slash sideways. I'm holding it, you know, vertical. Better slash him, you know, horizontal. It was so dumb. It was so dumb. The game's concept. Then that's not meant. Just all the side quests are terrible. All the NPCs are terrible. There's no nighttime gameplay in that, which is a staple in Zelda games. Okay, a staple playing at night. Wind Waker with the ghost ship. Ocarina of Time with the re-deads. Okay, rigging. Twilight Princess, even though they had more of the Twilight for at night, but still, I mean, they had a whole Twilight area for it. Nighttime, you would see NPCs that you wouldn't normally see interact in different ways. This game, you're too scared to leave the island or the floating isle. The stupid knights kick you off, and then every cat and weirdo animal attacks you. Then, the story is really bad. And just the core mechanics don't work in that game. And I don't think it does. I don't think it holds up well, like graphics wise, too. Like I was kind of looking at it, I think the character designs are good, but I don't like. When I kind of look at it, it still looks like wet paint to me.
So
it was kind of going for a paint art style, to be fair.
Yeah, but like it was like, oh look, it's between Minish Cap and Ocarina of Time, and I'm like, dude, like, I was like, did my screen finish loading? Like, what is this?
Yeah, I agree. All right, I expected better for the Wii U. For the Switch, but not on Wii U. So I agree with you. It definitely still looks like a Wii game. I don't know what everyone is freaking out about because a lot of people are definitely.
Yeah, I couldn't really tell much of a difference on that, to be honest. Like, and usually, like, I mean, I'm not the biggest like graphics guy, but I was like, this looks the same.
Well, I mean, The thing there is there isn't really much to like when you're doing a remaster, not a remake. So a remaster is just. Touching
you
it
just
up.
Touch
up there isn't really right? much to Crazy. Do like Twilight Princess it was going for a more realistic art style so like it's going to be more noticeable when you fix up the textures and whatnot because
yeah but Wind Waker HD looks completely different I don't know
that's only because they changed the lighting in it and it's not cel shaded anymore so like there was a reason why it looked that different and well also I was looking back at all these other remasters to see the difference. So Twilight Princess, it's more noticeable because, you know, it was making realistic art style. So you have to update that a lot more because you could get away with more when it was blurrier textures versus when, you know, it's an HD, you couldn't get away with that. And then with Wind Waker, it wasn't just the lighting edge. And so it wasn't cel shaded anymore. It was whatever the other type of lighting is. But if you go back and look at the original Wind Waker, the colors are actually like pretty dark. So I think it looked a lot different because like the colors in the Wii U version are actually like saturated. Like you wouldn't be surprised or you would be surprised how like dark and muddy the original Wind Waker textures are. But with Skyward Sword, like the colors are all nice and pop out. They don't use a realistic art style, so it's pretty cartoony, so you know there isn't really much to update in that sense to make it look better. It's just kind of crisper, so I don't think there was much they could really do unless they remade it. But that's all the more reason why it shouldn't cost $60 because you didn't really do much to it in the first place. Like, you didn't really. This is a perfect game for a remake because it's like, okay, it looked good enough back then. All it really needs to do is run better and be sharper,
But
and that's
didn't
about it.
it 60 FPS on
But
the
that's
Wii?
it.
No, because I know Galaxy ran 60 FPS.
No, I don't think it was. No,
Okay,
I'm
okay.
looking at Skyward
All
Sword
right,
and it
but
wasn't.
I do know Galaxy was at 60. That's
Sure.
just because I was playing an enhanced one of it, because that was one of the like a lot of Nintendo games actually did run at 60, you know,
Yeah.
which is.
This one didn't for sure. If you look at the side-by-side comparisons I'm watching now, but yeah, so
I don't know, it
I
just
agree that
seemed.
it doesn't need much in terms of like quote unquote fixing it, but that's also the reason why they shouldn't charge this much because you're not putting much effort into it. So you really don't deserve full price for the bare minimum.
Yeah, I mean, I look, 50 seems a little bit like better.
Yeah,
Yeah,
that's not enough.
I don't know. Maybe this is just like armchair criticism, and it's unfair for me to ju say this because, like, I'm not a developer, and I don't know how hard it is to develop during COVID. But it just seemed lazy, and not just this, re not Skyward Sword specifically. The entire presentation, the amount of gear, and I just presume that the real reason is because COVID slowed down development on so many projects. You know, we saw Breath of the Wild 2 not seeing enough Pokemon, with not seeing any Metroid and any other exclusive is actually pretty concerning. I think there's, in terms
Metroid
of,
Prime 4. Oh wait, I
I would
mean,
have
seriously.
expected
Yeah.
that,
But I just mean in general, in
but
terms of first party exclusives, there was like nothing that was like a big first party hitter that we think about.
Oh
There's
no,
definitely
nothing at all.
some like notable second and third party games that we saw. Okay. And there was like some of these like passion projects and some remakes, I guess. But in terms of like real, like Donkey Kong, Metroid, like literally anything first party, like big, we didn't have that. And it's like, okay, Nintendo isn't using its properties the way to its full extent. Like maybe they should just be paying other studios to develop games for them. Like, I don't know.
Even
But
No More
it,
Heroes 3, they like all they did was announce a release date for August.
yeah, I think it's definitely COVID related in some respects, but overall it's just like an underutilization of your properties, and
But
it's
wasn't
really
it the
disappointing.
big one? That's what I'm trying. Like it felt like it was supposed to be big, and it wasn't. I think that's also why we're so I want to say random.
Exactly.
Well,
We're a little
it
like
was
peeved
50
on it.
minutes.
I remember coming in, I was like, this seems like it's supposed to be like, oh, we're gonna announce what's going on for the year. It's like, okay, great. Yeah, and let's see. And they're like, yeah, and then they wet the bed.
Yeah, I think the
Yeah.
other thing was that, unlike other directs, this was 50 minutes, and I think normal directs are like 30 to 40. So it's like, okay, they have lots to show. They have something substantial to show, and then, they kind of really didn't. I mean, you can talk about third parties, and there's some notable stuff for sure, but it's like, I understand they're not going to show much of Zelda stuff because they're going to wait until after the Mario anniversary is over before, jumping onto the Zelda one, fine. But like you were saying, Eli, like all their other games, first party published or developed, it's like they didn't really say anything. It's like, what?
I don't know. We look at these competitors. Like Sony, actually, I mean, for the PS5, has pretty much had a drought too. So they don't get off that easy. But they've got a pretty full schedule here starting this summer with first party games. They've got stuff
Ratchet
coming,
and
I
Clank
think.
already, right? This summer?
What?
Ratchet and Clank is this summer, is it not? Right?
I think
Yeah, they've got Horizon, right? The Horizon sequel coming soon. They've got some big hitters, I think, coming. And of course, they always get the multi-platform games anyway, right? So there's always like games to play.
Yeah.
Big hitters from third parties at least. Microsoft has definitely been very empty, so it's like it's difficult to judge them. But to be fair, they've got Game Pass, and more importantly, Microsoft has always thrived without like a robust first party ca or first pr party calendar, right? They have Halo, they've got Forza, but like realistically, and they are acquiring more studios, so this can definitely change. But it's not that surprising that they don't have a ton there. Nintendo is the one with the big hitters, usually out competing Sony, because Sony's relying a lot on third-party games too, and we just aren't seeing that. And it's like super disheartening for a company that should have this deep catalog. And we had giant droughts on the Wii U, right? After the second year or something like that, which was disheartening. But at least they had a lot of big hitters the first 2 years. So we can't really fault the Switch being in its fourth year now for not having, you know, big hitters again. But, you know, you're a big selling console manufacturer. You can't just rely on porting your old games and pretend that your Wii U games never came out the first time, right? You have a graphical disadvantage. Fortunately, your system's selling like hotcakes. You can thank Pokemon Animal Crossing for that. And, you know, I guess those Animal Crossing players are just content to continue playing it and every so often buying additional games. But for your core audience, which I guess admittedly is not that huge given how much the Wii U sold, like, what is there? You know, what is coming out? There's a lack, and it's just disheartening. And, you know, even if we end up getting, you know, Breath of the Wild 2 in 2022, I guess next year, like, that's a year here that's relatively empty. And if that's the only big hitter next year, what's the point of this console? You know, other than just sell. You know, I guess that's the point, to sell. And good job, Switch, you're selling.
But yeah, you're just saying, though, they're sit on gold, then they just report everything. It's like, what is the last new Nintendo game you bought? Because I can't even think of that, to be honest. I think Mario Maker 2 or Smash. Like, I literally can't think of the last new Nintendo game I bought that wasn't on the Wii U or Wii. You know?
Yeah, I mean, for heaven's sake, you've got Mario, right? 35th anniversary. Why isn't there, like, a new Super Mario Bros. Game? Like, why?
Or Odyssey DLC or something. Like, hey, we built a 35, and like, you go to the other Odysseys, which were old Mario games, because, you know what I mean? Like, they could have did anything with
it. Super Mario World in 3D.
Yeah, I mean, look, I love Super Mario World 3D, like, Super Mario 3D World, like, I was speedrunning Bowser's Fury for like the last 2 weeks, and like I think that game is great, but that's a 2 hour game, and I was speedrunning at 45 minutes, you know, because I was like, oh, this is fun, I'm gonna do this more. But you know, 2 hours is more of like a tech. It's like, what do they used to call those side games in Ratchet and Clank, like Quest for Booty? You know, something like that, like a DLC,
yeah, like expansions or something.
Yeah, and I was like, look, I get it. You know, you wanted people to play 3D World. That's one of the best games on the Wii U, and nobody really had a Wii U. And, yeah, I get it. The reason why we haven't had a Mario Kart 9, I don't think other people know, is because they were working on Mario Kart for Nintendo World, you know? They admit they were making a whole new game. Like, obviously, they're going to be using the Mario Kart team for that. But overall, I don't know the last new Nintendo game I bought. If it wasn't for, like, I don't really, like, you could say maybe Animal Crossing, but I remember, I think I got it as a gift, but I can only think of Animal Crossing and Pokemon Sword as the newest games on my Switch. Other than that, I have to wait for, when was Paper Mario?
The summer or something.
Really? Yeah, okay.
See, or like September or something like that.
Yeah, that was my new game. I don't even know if both of you got it. I don't know if both of you guys got it. Exactly. So
Hyrule Warriors was my new game.
Your new game and only game, right?
Well, what do you mean only? I mean,
only like Nintendo developed game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so it's
crazy.
And it's not just, you know, the properties, which of course, like, it's unfortunate that we still did get Paper Mario, and then we've got the Super Mario 3D World remake, and you know, so there was some stuff. But it's not top class, and it's not like, I don't know, I looked at the reviews. I bought Paper Mario, I haven't played it yet. I'm like 2 hours in.
It was good. It wasn't the best, and it wasn't Sticker Star terrible, but it was definitely a fun time. You know what I mean? But it was never like, I would replay it again.
It was great, but not good.
Yeah, basically. It's like, yo, I like, oh man, I really enjoyed this game, but I'm never gonna play it again kind of thing, you know, like versus like playing the first two.
Yeah, maybe I'm just being like complaining too much, but it's just like, I know what makes what I love about Nintendo, and I love the Wii. Like, I'm a person that loved the Wii years. I loved the first 2 years of the Wii U. The games were great, you know. Like, so oh, yeah. Don't get me wrong.
Testament to those games, because they're porting all of them.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
and that's the one thing that annoys me of people saying, "Oh, Wii U had no games," and then the same people buying those exact Wii U games on Switch. It's like, so it had no games, and that's why you didn't buy it. But you're buying them now on this console, right?
Yeah, no, that was just an excuse to not get it. There were so many excuses
I
going on
mean,
all the time.
to give them some credit, those games were very far between. Like on the
That
Switch,
is true.
they're updated like, every 2 or 3 months there's new port or whatever for their first few
Matt, you
years. Whereas
forget.
Wii U, it was like, oh, here's like a 5 month gap for the next game. So I understand that. But eventually it built up a library after 2 or 3 years or whatever.
Yeah, but Matt, you forget that the library is so little in the Wii U that we got two free games. I forgot about that. All right. We got a choice of between Wind Waker, HD, Wii Party U, Pikmin 3, and something else. Because
New
they're
Super
like,
Mario
hey,
Brothers.
yeah, they're like, we have no games. So choose one of the choose two of the four, buy the other two, and then buy Mario Kart and 3D World and Mario Maker. And we're out of games. There you go. There's all seven. Okay. But yeah, they like I'm with you both you guys on that. I mean, from 2019, I guess they've been getting away with it. Because Mario Kart, I get it. It was so quick between Wii U and they needed some game for the Switch. It's like, okay, I get that. But after that, man, like Donkey Kong, Pikmin 3, Tokyo Mirage Fire Session, Tokyo Mirage FES, Fire Emblem Session. I don't know. I can't remember the full exact behind it. But yeah, that NSMBU Deluxe, blah, 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 Deluxe, this, that, and this. It's like,
And a lot of
dude.
those games didn't even sell poorly on the
Yeah,
Wii
those are the top selling
U.
games. Those are the
It's
top
like
selling games.
Tokyo Mirage Sessions. I get it. Like that game clearly did not get a
And
fair break.
you know what? That
But
was a
3D
wonderful
World
journey
and
finally out there.
Smash and well, I mean Smash is different, but 3D World and the other games.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
mean, you know what? I'm actually kind of curious. I'm just gonna look up the Wii U sales of like just. I'm not gonna look up Mario Kart, obviously, but let's just say. I thought New Super Mario Bros. U was the most sold game on
Yeah, I
the.
think it was, but it probably sold even more on Switch. Switch is just like another world, But it's
Yeah.
like, do you, I mean, maybe they don't care about like the hardcore fans, the people that bought the Wii U and kept up. After all, it's only a few million people, right? Like,
Yeah.
you sold 13 million. The Switch is selling like 20 something a year. Like clearly we're in the minority of some sort. Like maybe it's not a company. Maybe we're not the target market anymore, in some respects, but where's my
Weird though, the
Pikmin
target
4?
market for people who haven't played the games that were already out, and it's like, yeah, but I don't know what's the best way to say it, but yeah, we're not it being the major being the vocal minority usually makes it feel like, oh, well, I've been supporting Nintendo because of this, that, and this, or like I've had it because of this, and I get it, they're trying to introduce a new age of gamers. While also bringing back old. You know how many people I know who haven't gotten a Nintendo system in years have a Switch? I'm pretty sure it's the same for you guys. Like, everyone, like, a Switch is a very common item to have. Like, some people have a Switch just to have a Switch now, Like, my boy, he's been playing PlayStation since, like, 2005, okay? And now he has a Switch Lite so he can play Pokemon. And it's cool and all to, for Nintendo to reach back and now kind of introduce everybody into it. But at the same time, it's, they're not doing anything new. And so they're able to get away with it. It's like if I showed you guys a magic trick like 500 times, and I go, and then we go out and I go, oh, well, check this out. And I say it to new people, and you two are like, oh my God, he's doing it again. Like, whatever. Like, it's not special. To somebody else, it's special right now. But it's like Nintendo's getting away with that. And it's kind of annoying in that aspect,
Well, it's odd because people are saying, oh, they still have ports don't take away from making new releases because it doesn't take much. And that much is true. However, they're treating ports as new releases, and because of
Exactly.
that, they're going to forego making games for that involve that series or whatever and do something else entirely. So like Pikmin, I don't think that game's going to get another entry on the Switch because they'll be like, "Eh, it doesn't make so much money. Whatever. We'll just put out this one Pikmin game and then that's our Pikmin game for the console." And that's going to be the same for a lot of the other ones. It's going to depend because some they'll be like, "Hey, you know what? We can get away with releasing another one of these games and make money, like Xenoblade, for instance. Like, hey, this is picking up. Let's hit while the iron's hot or whatever. But for the most part, it's going to be like, here's the one game for this console now. And then the thing is, I don't even know what else they're doing with these studios. It like they condensed, they don't have two consoles anymore. So you would think, oh, that means all the other console or studios that were going to make, a handheld version could have just, moved over and they're now making another game. So that's one more game, effectively almost double the amount of studios and games you can get. But it doesn't seem like their output has actually changed that much. It's like there's, what is it, 2 to 3 games in the first half of the year, and then it's like 4 to 6 in the last half is what I remember. I did a breakdown of the Wii U's first few years or whatever, and then like the Switches, and it was pretty much the same. They haven't changed their
The
actual
only difference is
output of
we get
AAA
third
games.
party stuff now, you know what I mean? It's like,
Yeah.
compared to like back then, like I remember we used to laugh about that because this would be like, all right, and every game's coming out for every system but the Wii U, and then there's this, It's just now we get those games as well, and people enjoy it on the, like, they're it's not the most preferred system, but it's like, hey, dude, like I have a PS4 and crash, but I want to get it on my Switch because I got the trilogy on my Switch, and it's like, okay. So that's a more common. So that like that could squeeze the gaps between. But overall, it's like, I guess for us in the minority of being like quote unquote gamers, okay, it's like I'm gonna get Crash for PlayStation because that's where he belongs, or I want to say the best way it should be. So.
There is an amount of like long-term strategy Nintendo's betting on, which failed with the Wii. Like their thing with the Wii is like, we're gonna try this blue ocean. We're gonna bring everyone in, make everyone a gamer, and then they're gonna stay with us. And like they're gonna be gamers for life, and they're gonna continue buying our shit, and they're gonna upgrade to like better game or not better, but like more hardcore quote unquote games, right? Like this was the idea, and it failed with the Wii U. And they're clearly trying the strategy again with the Switch, and I see that with like with. I mean, my girlfriend Mesa bought a Switch, okay? Bought it for Animal Crossing. That was like the in. Because lots of her friends, by the way, during the pandemic also bought a Switch, right? So that was your in. And then since then she bought Pikmin. She loves Pikmin. She bought like a few downloadable games like Moving Out, Overcooked, like some of these ones. And so this is a clear target, right, for Nintendo that she's not someone who's ever bought a Nintendo console before, by the way, okay? So it's like, are they gonna convince her to buy the next console? Is there a place for her? She loves Mario. She played Mario with me too. But she doesn't consider herself a big gamer. She plays it for fun. I'm sure mobile games would serve her interests just as well if she wanted to. And I'm not sure if Nintendo is making the right bet because I'm thinking about her. And I'm like, I don't know. She definitely would not buy a Nintendo console at launch in the future. I don't know. I don't think there's a
Yeah,
market there.
it didn't turn her into a big Nintendo drone like us. Like, oh man, we're gonna tell you, I love Animal Crossing so much, I'm gonna buy a Switch right away. Like, dude, even the 3DS Animal Crossing players weren't like, I gotta get a Switch right away. Some were, but them, it's like, I just want to get, like, if a new Animal Crossing dropped on a new console, I'm assuming like your girlfriend or most people would be like, you know what, I want that because I enjoyed the other one,
Yeah, but I
you
don't
know.
know if it, yeah, I don't know if it'd be worth buying console ever, especially not in the middle of the pandemic, when you got nothing else to do.
I think, oh, go
Sorry, go
ahead.
ahead.
Also, the fact that it's impossible to get one now, apparently, still impossible, apparently. So,
I mean, and New Horizons, Animal Crossing New Horizons, sold I think something like 30 million so far. It is
I
just
think
on
it's
a
gonna
roll.
pass Mario Kart soon, right?
It yeah, it's clearly like a significant portion, like maybe 20% of Switch owners, if not more, literally bought the system for Animal Crossing or something like that. Like it is, that
That's
is crazy.
insane.
I don't know how many of those people are going to follow along. And it's actually a pretty insane success story because Animal Crossing has never been this big a hitter. I mean, it was a big on the GameCube, it didn't sell that well. On the Wii, it sold I think a few million. I think the 3DS version was I think the best selling version. It sold maybe
Yeah, the
10 or
new Leaf,
12.
right? And that was like it was like a little bit under a fifth, right? It was like 10% of 3DS
Yeah.
owners, right?
So maybe a little more. It was maybe like 10 or 12 million sales, I think.
Okay.
Because the 3DS was 100 million, you know, 100 million, like, minimum. That thing was, that thing saved Nintendo, and it's like, that's why I don't understand why there's not more, like, 3DS games kind of thing.
So, I mean, you look at that, and then New Horizons just skyrocketing, right? You had, so you went 1, 5 million, maybe 10 million, 12 million, and 30, 31 million right now. It's going to be more than that by the time everything's said and done. It's, I mean, that's a core chunk. Like, out of 80 million Switch owners, how many people owned, like, were brought in because of that game? And how many of those people are going to stick around? I don't know. And when Nintendo's betting on them, I mean, they are a bigger market than us. Like, what can you say? The number of people that bought the system for Animal Crossing is more than the number of people that are going to buy Metroid. Sorry. Sorry for everyone that, you know.
Are you kidding me? Metroid's going to sell like a million. You're a fool, right?
Well, the flip side to that argument is that they're, I don't know if this is the right term, the fickle customers or not loyal customers where you can't guarantee that they'll come across the next time. So it's like, sure, they're making you more money, but there's no guarantee that they're going to stick with you. So, you know, let's say you release the next game in whatever series is hot because of the timing or just the way you do it, it might not hit people that well or to the same extent. So it's like, oh, this game's going to be an insane hitter next time. Well, not necessarily, because the reason they jumped on is for, you know, completely different reasons. I think to try to round out this part of the discussion is, I understand the idea behind, okay, well, we released a game for this series and that's going to be our game for the console and we'll move on to do some other thing or not. I think my issue is that that would be fine if the games they're making in those series were great, and so far they're kind of not the best versions of games. Not the ports necessarily, but like the new games, like Mario Tennis Aces isn't all that great. It's lacking a lot of content, and they've like released, they held off characters for like several years, and Kirby Star Allies was not all that great. It was very basic compared to like the 3DS Kirby games, and you know, Animal Crossing New Horizons apparently is missing a lot of things that, you know, New Leaf had, and same thing with a lot of these other games, Splatoon 2, and we'll get into that series. Just kind of felt like Splatoon again. They didn't really do much new with it. So my issue there is that, like, these games don't really do a whole lot to be like, oh man, this is this stands out on its own. It's more like, oh, it stands out because, I don't know, it's on the Switch.
Yeah, you know what's funny, man? You're not the
Yoshi
person.
Game as well. Like, Yoshi's Woolly, I didn't play Crafted World, but I can almost bet that it doesn't hold a candle to Woolly World.
Man,
that was bad.
Man, I was gonna say though, was you what you said about New Leaf is funny. I heard that a lot of complaints from the old New Leaf players, like, well, you can't do this and you can't do that. And I'm like, huh. Like, you know, I mean, that's gonna happen everywhere in everything you do. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it does seem like, well, you know, they're getting more by doing less. And it's pretty evident to people like us who care about Nintendo. And it's like, you know, the others, they don't know. So it's like,
yeah. But speaking of Splatoon, you were mentioning games, you know, what do they have for next year? And supposedly Splatoon 3 is coming next year.
Before Breath of the Wild 2?
Well, I think Breath of the Wild 2 is going to be end of the year for the Zelda anniversary. They're obviously not going to say that for a while until the Mario anniversary is over. But anyway, Splatoon 3, they showed off. They didn't show much. They showed you can be an Inkling or an Octoling. There's, you know, new customization options and weapons like the bow and arrow sort of thing. And you have one of those small fry fishes or whatever from Salmon Run that tags along with you, I think, in the story mode anyway. I know
it looked like pretty badass, huh?
Yeah, what did you make of it?
It is pretty surprising. It was very dark. It seemed apocalyptic, if I'm remembering correctly, right?
Yeah, it's either France. Well, I don't think it's France. I think it's like the old whatever Splatoon 2 Plaza was, like, is destroyed. It's just hanging upside down in like a crater.
Yeah, that's kind of wild. I mean, to be fair, we saw very little of this one too, other than just a teaser. So I don't know. It seems maybe far out, but yeah, I don't know. What do you think?
So my concern is that I was hoping that team was going to move on to something else for a while after Splatoon 2, because Splatoon 2 just felt to me like, oh, well, we got to have Splatoon. It was this huge success on the Wii U, considering, you know, that game's install base. So we obviously got to bring it over to Switch, and fair enough. But it didn't really feel like it added anything. It's just like, oh, well, I guess here's the Splatoon game on Switch now. It's like, oh, okay. So I was kind of hoping they would do some other game, and then when they come back to Splatoon 3, they can, you know, really make it the full-fledged sequel I think it deserves to be. And obviously this game's still a ways off and it didn't really show much, but my concern is that it's just going to be another Splatoon 2 sequel where it's like, yep, it's Splatoon again, and the story mode is pretty much going to be the same gameplay-wise, and you'll have multiplayer and maybe some other mode, and that's about it. I want them to, like, take it further.
Yeah, I think it's possible that that's what will happen. But I don't know. Splatoon 2, if you remember, was originally intended to be just a port of Splatoon, and then they, for some reason, made it Splatoon 2, you know, and really sold it. I don't think that was ever intended to be, like, the Splatoon 2, you know?
That's possible.
And it's been a while since not just Splatoon 2 came out, but since content ended, right? So it does feel like they really have potential to go all out, or at least, like, you know, put a lot of effort in. And to be honest, given how successful Splatoon has been, which is very successful, I don't think it's, like, bad that Nintendo has a dedicated, like, you know, Nintendo doesn't have very many first-person shooters. First-person shooters are the type of game that needs to be need to be consistently updated. I don't think it's the end of the world if one studio is, like, dedicated to putting out Splatoon and extra content, and, like, that's what they do. But, you know, it can't be in the, as a substitute for other content. Just, you know, bring on a studio, and that's all they do, and that's fine. I don't mind.
Mike, did you ever get into Splatoon 2? I feel like you were always on the edge of it, and I think... Weren't you waiting for a sale? I'm not sure if you actually found one or not.
Yeah, no, I did. They had that one sale, right? That super sale or whatever. That's when I finally got it. It was all like, they had like that special 2-week demo, remember? And then it was like, we'll give you the game for like $50 if you play the demo. So I was like, okay. that's kind of how I got it. I think the game's pretty awesome. I was like, man, Splatoon's super fun. But it's like, I don't know. I mean, I'm pretty hyped for 3. Maybe like it made me actually want to like play number 1 story mode, you know. But I'm excited. The trailer seemed pretty cool. I'm just shocked that, man, dude, 3 Splatoons in like 5 years. Meanwhile, like there's no other freaking games that came out. So it's like, am I mad is it Splatoon 3? No, not really. I think the game is pretty cool. I like the music from it. I think the character design and stuff are really cool. Am I like, I'm more mad at Nintendo than Splatoon, you know what I mean? It's like, Splatoon deserves it. You know, I think they're fun. I think it's a fun game. I think it's a great game. Also, they say they're not going to do any more Splatfest, yet every other month is a Splatfest. So, you know, and they also like to give more content as they can. And nobody's really kind of hit that weird painting battle or arena kind of thing. I don't like how gyroscope focused it is, but, you know, it's whatever. I think it's a game that you got to try at least once. Like, you know, you have Splatoon 1, maybe you don't want to like it anymore, but it's like you played it. For me, I have Splatoon 2. I always want to be like, I want to play with you guys, but like I kind of blow. And I'm like, man, I'll just play the story mode. And then I just don't. But yeah. So I might get 3, but I wouldn't be a day 1-3 guy, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't know you got 2. So talk after the show, and we'll have to set up playing a game, especially Sam.
Yeah,
run.
But I was playing with you and Clay.
Yeah.
I just don't have your salmon fish runs. You know what I mean? I'm a normal guy. Okay, gosh, I don't want to.
It's fun.
I'm not the goat in that game, okay?
It's fun. You don't have to be. That mode is, like, as long as you have a couple of human players, it's much better. I think you can play with AI. But yeah, if you have human players, it's pretty good.
Yeah, no, Splatoon's cool. It's even not like in the Holy Grail, but I'm like, you know, Splatoon. I was like, right here, Nintendo. I think of Splatoon. I wouldn't think of Arms or Punch Out. I would rather think, you know, first thing that comes to mind is Mario, Mario Zelda, and then comes that Fox Metroid, you know, that Fox Metroid Pokemon tier, and then after that, it's like, yeah, I Splatoon and Sonic. All right, it's already in that for Nintendo games. It's already as prevalent as a Sonic game.
Yep. And then I guess there's one last thing, see if we want to talk about it, is they finally announced and released the next Smash Fighter, which is Pyron Mythra from Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
So I mean, yeah, okay.
Now we have a literal sword fighter.
Yo, I'm not going to lie, though. Has anyone played her? She's pretty fun.
I haven't, but yeah, I heard they're fun.
Yeah, you know what? Like, they don't feel like the generic Fire Emblem character, you know? I was like, man, these characters are cool. Like, I mean, I don't mean cool, like actually cool, because I'm like a mech, you know, Blade fan. I think it's overrated. But like Mythra and Pyra, like, feel very smash-y, you know what I mean? Like, that's like the best way I can describe it. I was like, oh, this character feels like they belong, not like Violet. Like, that, I don't know, man. There's some about it. So yeah, it's a sword character, but you know, don't knock it till you try it. I think they're pretty fun, and they got some cool, unique stuff. So it's not really a bad addition, not at all.
This year is an odd year. The year Mike isn't mad at an anime sword fighter in Smash Brothers.
Yeah, I was like, look,
what is going on with the world? I thought 2020 was the year weird year.
No, oh, no, you know, come on, guys, you know me, all right? They pick a big blonde waifu with, you know, big chungus, you know what I mean? And Sakurai knows what I like, all right? Thank you, Mr. Sakurai.
Oh my gosh.
But no, I hope I don't know if I'm gonna get. To be honest, though, to like kind of wrap it up for me, I the direct was a little bit of a disappointment. I honestly forgot before the podcast, guys, that Matt even said. I mean, like, that there's. There were games announced. I was like, there were, you know, like, it just, to me, it just, all I can remember was Skyward Sword. And like, it's more of my giant disdain with our, like, that I abhor the game, like, you know, immensely. And I didn't have any good memories with it. And I'm like, but then I think about how everyone else is going to play it and feel the same pain now. Okay. It's going to be great. And I'm going to realize that game, that how annoying Fee is and how she can't help you with anything. Oh, it's going to be great. Oh man. Like, Clay, he's gonna play that game before he plays Odyssey, and he's gonna be a fool. Oh, it's gonna be great. You know, that the disappointment in everybody is what keeps me going. So thank you, everybody.
Never mind. There's Mike again. All right. Well, I think we'll wrap it up there for this episode. You can find me at the Mango Viking on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. And Eli, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at PolicyLon, and it's PalesCLEN, and that's it.
Nice. And Mike, where can people find you?
Hi, guys. Find me on YouTube on the Ten Troy, or, you know, you just look up Troy Full Buster. On me on Twitch / Twitter. It's just all Mario games all the time. So you like that Mario Maker? You like those Mario 64 ROM hacks? You know where to go. Nice. And I'll just tell you the name and the place where to find them. But you won't play.
And he's starting a new series called Gamers Talking About Podcasts and Cars, because I heard your blinker going off before.
I heard. Yeah, I had to grab something outside. Why, you got a problem? You got a problem with that?
Not
man?
At all. Not at all.
Grab some coffee. Not for me. I don't like coffee. I'm too immature for that. I'm a chocolate guy, guys. All right, that's it. That's how you stay young. Nice. Unlike Eli, he has 5 cups of coffee a day.
Yeah, don't tell.
He's a lawyer. Yeah, he's got to
clearly,
gotta keep
clearly
his wits about
read
him.
My Twitter.
Part of the job.
Yeah, let me tell you, I had a schedule the other day where I stayed up until 5 a.m. working.
Oh, man.
And I fell asleep, woke up at 9 o'clock for a meeting, had a meeting from 9 to 10, fell asleep again, had another meeting at noon, had the meeting from noon to 1, and then fell asleep again until like 4. So I had 8 hours of sleep.
Got
But it was like spread out in 2 3-hour and a 2-hour truck.
So how terrible did you feel for each of the hour of sleep when you got up again and you're just like, this doesn't help at all? You know,
surprisingly, it wasn't horrendously bad. I think it was just I was so sleep deprived. You know when you're so sleep deprived, you kind of like start like, it's like the adrenaline goes off. Like
yeah, you get a second wind.
Yeah, you get and that's how I felt. It was actually difficult to fall asleep again after getting up. But yeah, so you know, I drink too much coffee. It was kind of funny actually, because last summer when I worked a job and I was working standard 40-hour work weeks, I felt like I had so much free time. Like I felt like I was on vacation compared to the amount of work, like lost, like the school part actually has. So I'm looking forward this summer to be back on like a normal 40-hour week.
Nice. Right, so wherever you're listening, you can find us at Just Another Castle on pretty much every platform on the internet. Hit us up with your questions or interested in being a guest at Just Another Castle, or message me directly at the Manga Viking. It's good for all of us to come back together, and we should be doing more episodes more frequently. It's not going to be every week or anything like that, but you know, won't be gone for like 4 months again.
I always miss you all.
Yeah. It's fun. Do it more often for sure. So until next time, leave luck to the heavens and leave gaming to Nintendo.